So very good to see all of you back again this evening. My sermon this evening begins over in Matthew chapter 23 and in verse 39. It is the second of the two primary commands at the very core of God's commandments toward mankind. The second command is very simply stated, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Actually, what I would like to focus in on here is the close of the verse, and that is, we are actually supposed to love ourselves. It is not sinful to love yourself. And we are supposed to respect ourselves and honor ourselves. I have observed in our world today that there are some people who do not have self-esteem. They do not have self-respect. They do not have self-honor, self-worth. As a matter of fact, they have no worth toward anybody. They don't see anybody as being valuable, anybody as having any worth at all. They treat themselves that way and they treat others that way. And a sermon here this evening, what we're going to be studying is exactly how valuable you are and every other human being is. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22, it says, as a ring of gold is in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. In the text here, you're dealing with a woman who is described as being lovely, but she lacks discretion. She does not understand the treasure that she is. I fear sometimes that we do not actually comprehend and understand the magnitude of the treasure that we are. That's why it's described as a gold ring and a swine's snout. The swine has no consciousness of treasure and how valuable it is. I actually believe there are people in the world who do not recognize the treasure that they are and how valuable they are. Over in the book of Romans, in chapter 1, I'm reading from the outline now. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. In the text here in Romans, he's describing the Gentile world, how they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And they took the truth of God and they turned it into a lie. First, they let go of God, and then they let go of the truth of the Word of God. And as a consequence of that, they spiraled down into immorality, and the text says, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. They had no honor toward themselves, toward their own body, and how they treated it. When you let go of God, the true nature of God, and the true nature of humanity, you lose human value. Let me explain it to you this way. In our world today, we are being bombarded with the general theory of evolution from the first grade until you get out. And then if you ever watch television, you're being bombarded with the general theory of evolution, which is trying to teach you that there is no God. You just came into existence by chance along with everything else that's alive out there. Now you think about this for a moment. If there is no God, what makes you more valuable than a dog? Actually, nothing. You're just another living animal. You need to realize that people have been bombarded with this teaching from their youth in our culture, and some of them have taken it hook, line, and sinker. And as a consequence, they have no self-respect and no respect toward any other human beings because they do not see us as being valuable in any way whatsoever. Going over to Matthew 7, 6, it says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Here again, you're dealing with someone who does not comprehend the treasure. There are people in the world who don't even comprehend the treasure that they are, that their own body is, that their own life is, much less the treasure of other people around them. And you can see it in the way they treat themselves, treat their bodies, and treat the people in the world around them. There's a lack of self-esteem, self-respect, self-dignity, and self-honor. Our sermon here this evening is meant to look into the Word of God to come to understand and have our understanding enlightened of the magnitude of the value of yourself and everybody else. Where we're going to start this lesson is in the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, going to the outline, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Right off the bat, I want you to understand the general theory of evolution is a big, humongous, the biggest lie that's been perpetrated in our world. That there is no God. I want you to understand right up front, God does exist, and mankind was created by Him. And mankind is the pinnacle of the creation on this earth. Mankind was created in the image of God. That right off the bat helps you come to understand why you are valuable in this world. You are more valuable than the fish and the birds and the cattle. You are a human being. Cattle were not created in the image of God, nor were birds, nor were fishes, nor dogs. Human beings and only human beings were created by God in the image of God. And that in and of itself alone should help you come to understand the value of every single human being, including yourself. In our world, we determine the value of things by how much they cost. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, "You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men." All right. How valuable are you? If you were going to purchase yourself, how much would you cost? $1 million? $10 million? How about $1 trillion? How about all the money on this planet? The truth of the matter is, all the money on this planet and everything on this planet that ever has been and ever will be, all the physical things, are not worth you by yourself alone. Over in 1 Peter, it tells us what it took to purchase us. "Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. All the gold and silver in this world could not purchase you." What it took to purchase you was the precious blood of Christ. Let that sink in. That is how valuable you are. It took the most precious thing in the universe to purchase you. If it took the most precious thing in the universe to purchase you, you have to be precious and valuable because you cost the most valuable thing in the entire universe. Over in Mark 8, it's put this way. "For what will a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" The answer is, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The answer is, you don't have enough. You don't have enough. What makes you valuable is that you have a soul. I've told you all the story before of my college professor that was telling us human value. And this is what he said. You're basically a bag of water. You remove the water and you're worth about $3.50. A Big Mac and French fries is worth more than you. Now let that sink in. If a college professor tells you you're worth $3.50, then how are you going to treat yourself and other people? Because they are worthless. Worthless bags of water. But there was something the college professor was missing. Yes, our body may be mostly water that returns to the dust when we die, but there's something else there. And that something else is your soul. Mankind, every single one of us created in the image of God, has a soul that will continue to exist for all eternity. And if you were to gain the entire world and everything in it, you, all by yourself, are more valuable than everything on this planet. It took the most precious thing in the universe to purchase you. And listen, folks, the Son of God doesn't die for junk. Let that sink in. Understand how valuable you are. And how valuable every other human being is. There is no such thing as a worthless person. They do not exist. The mere fact they have a soul, that they are created in the image of God, that Christ died for them, you and every other person is a great treasure. Ephesians says in chapter 3, we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. In the text here, Paul writing to the Ephesians is talking about having our minds being able to get around and grasp the magnitude of the depth, the height, the width, the length of how much it is we are actually loved by God. And it talks about how it passes knowledge. It passes our knowledge. We can't truly fully grasp it. 1 John says about the love of God, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. You see, the way God expressed it to all mankind, as best as He could, as loudly as He could, was He gave His Son to die for me. You've heard that, I know, 1,000 times. God so loved the world. Okay, He gave His only begotten Son. You've heard that verse, but it's very easy, because we've heard the verse so many times, to let the reality of what the verse is teaching wash over our brain. I am loved by the Creator of the universe. And He loves me personally so much, He gave His Son to die for me. The way the Apostle Paul put it in Galatians chapter 2 and 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, notice this now, in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now we're talking about Jesus the Christ. I want you to notice what Paul does here in the close of this verse. He personalizes and individualizes the love of Christ, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I just quoted John 3:16, God so loved the world. It's very easy to think of a blanket love, but as you're kind of stuck up there in the middle of it, all right. I want you to take the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and do something with it. I want you to recognize and understand God knows you personally, individually, and loves you personally, individually. Jesus knows you personally and individually. And what He went through, the scourging, the beating, the crucifixion, all of that was for me personally. The reason I want you to do this is because it is knowing and believing the love that God has for us is what drives us and motivates us to love God back. Being able to comprehend the magnitude of the sacrifice that was made for me and what was driving that sacrifice. When you come to comprehend God's love for you and for everyone, You start recognizing how important you are to God. How special you are to God. And if you are important and special to God, so special, so important, that He loves you so much that He gave His Son to die for you, you must be valuable and important and precious to God. I'd like to go now over Psalms 51 on the outline. Because we've been talking about the sacrifice that Christ made, and He made it for me. And that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Even though God gave His Son to die for us, there are some people that just don't grasp that, don't believe it, and just let it go. It never sinks in. And as a consequence, they never do anything with Christ crucified in their life. They never do anything with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then there are others who come to know and believe the love that God has for them, who love God back, who love Christ. And when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, they see the opportunity to obey the gospel and be forgiven. Psalms 51 is where I wanted to go. The reason I wanted to go here is because what Satan does to us in our lives when we do sin. When we go into sin, Satan sooner or later is going to try to convince you God doesn't want you anymore. You've messed up so bad, you've sinned so much, that God doesn't want you anymore. There's nothing you can do about it because you've just blown it. So forget about going to heaven. Forget about being a Christian. Forget about a relationship with God. Just let it go because you're not worth it anymore. If you ever start thinking that about yourself, please realize you are being lied to. David was a man who sinned greatly against God and committing adultery and murder. Psalms 51 is the psalm that he wrote in response to recognizing what he had done after Nathan came to him and told him, "You are the man." In this text, he says, you're beginning in verse 9, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities." What's David warning here? He's warning his sin to be dealt with. He is conscious of what he's done. He's conscious of what he's done, how it could affect his relationship with God. And what he wants and is seeking more than anything is forgiveness. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Listen to me now. You all know what I'm telling you is the truth. When you're not right with God, you cannot be at peace with yourself. When you know there's sin standing between you and God, you cannot truly be at peace inside. David was wanting to have a clean heart, a clean conscience, a steadfast spirit renewed back within him. He was wanting the joy and the peace of a right relationship with God restored. That's why he says, as you go further, restore to me the joy of your salvation. He was wanting to be right with God again. The last thing that he wanted was to be separated from God. He says, "Uphold me by your generous spirit." And he goes on further in verse 13. He says, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." Whenever we are forgiven, there is a peace that comes from knowing you're right with God. I chose at this time to go over to Luke 15 to explain this to you. This man didn't think he could go home, did he? Because he had sinned against God and his Father. But he finally came to himself and he did go home. And the Father saw him from a distance. He ran to him. He fell on his neck. But the Father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." You do understand what this is describing and teaching us. Listen, folks, we can always come home. God always loves you and God always still wants you. God wants you and will never stop wanting you to be with Him. You can be forgiven. God is willing to forgive you. As you go into the text, it says, "For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. You see, this rejoicing comes from a consciousness of that which was lost is found. Those who see the erring child of God coming home, we rejoice for that. But there is a rejoicing within the heart of the individual who has been forgiven. Forgiven. The one who has been forgiven much loves much. The one who has been forgiven little loves little. Do you know anybody that's been forgiven little? Huh? Really? No, you don't. Do you? Because when you get down to it, the fact of the matter is we've all been forgiven much. Be conscious of how much you have been forgiven and be conscious that you have been forgiven. You know, Clark just finished the Beatitudes. I want to give you a couple more from Romans. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Here again, we're dealing with this peace of spirit and mind and heart, this joy, this contentment, this happiness, all of them bound together in that word blessed, that comes from knowing that your sins have been forgiven. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Christ loved you so much, He died for you. When you sin and you take the sin to God with a penitent heart, turning from it, be aware and be conscious of being forgiven. And let the joy of being right with God be part of your life. I'm telling you, folks, people out in the world, the reason their life is so empty is because they don't have Christ, they don't have God. And they're empty. And they're going to stay empty until they come to realize who God is, who Jesus is, what He's done for them, and take advantage of Christ crucified and obey the gospel. There is no true peace or joy without God in Christ. I entitled the next part of the lesson, "Do You Not Know?" Because all three verses have that phrase in them. Don't you know this about yourself? And this is kind of being said like, come on, open your eyes, understand this about yourself. And then once you recognize this about yourself, the whole point is recognize how precious you are, how valuable you are, and understanding how valuable you are, then behave that way. The first, "don't you know," is in 1 Corinthians 6:15. "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not." Notice the exclamation point at the end of that. Certainly not. Why not? Because your body is members of Christ. He puts it another way. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves? There's that phrase again. Don't you know that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. And then the third one is in 1 Corinthians 6. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? There are three "don't you know" phrases about yourself. And they all have to do with your relationship with God. And notice the conclusion of it. For you are bought at a price. There it is again. You are bought at a price. That price is the blood of Christ. So what should be the conclusion of that? Therefore, glorify God, how? In your body and in your spirits, which are God's. I need to recognize the honor that my body deserves because it has been purchased by God. It does not belong to me. It belongs to God. And it is meant to be used to honor God and not to be spiraled down into the mud and the garbage of this world. We'll close the sermon by going over to 1 Peter 2 and 9. I want you to notice these phrases here that are used to describe Christians. And since you have obeyed the gospel, the majority of you that are here this evening, this is describing you. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Notice these four words here. Chosen, royal, holy, special. That is you. That's you. Do you realize that about yourself? You're chosen. You're royal. You're holy. You're special to God. Let's go further. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 through 18. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I'll receive you. Verse 18. And I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. If you are a child of God, and you have come out from the world, and you've sanctified yourself, the Lord says here about your relationship with Him is that you are sons and daughters of God. You are sons of the King. You are daughters of the King. Behave like a son of the King and like a daughter of the King. Understand who you are. You are chosen. You are special. You are royal. You are sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. Understand that about yourself. You ultimately, one time in the future, if you continue in your relationship with God, will be with God Almighty in heaven. Walk then as children of light. Walk worthy of your calling, with your head high, giving yourself the honor you deserve for what you are. You are a Christian. You are a child of God. You are sons and daughters of the Lord Almighty. 1 Thessalonians, and we'll close with this, says in chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel, notice this, in sanctification and honor. Honor. Let's go back to the beginning of the sermon. You remember back there in Romans chapter 1? These people who had let go of God and let go of the truth of God, it says they dishonored their bodies. Let you understand this, folks. When folks go into sin in their body, sexual immorality, they are dishonoring their body. You are dishonoring your body, not treating your body with the dignity and the respect that it deserves. Understand what you are and who you are, and treat yourself with the honor that you deserve. Treat your body with the honor that it deserves. Know how to possess your own body in honor. Honor is recognizing the value that someone is. In the text here, it is recognizing the value that you are. You are so valuable, Christ died for you. The reason He died for you is because you have a soul. You are created in the image of God. You are more valuable than the earth and everything in it. So valuable, the Son of God died for you because He loved you. When you become a child of God, I believe a major part of that is a consciousness of self-worth, self-value. And then in the end, treating yourself as a Christian with the honor that your body and your life deserves, ultimately to the glory of God the Father. The whole purpose of the sermon here this evening was one simple goal. I want you to know how valuable you are. Did you get that from the scriptures we looked at? Because every single one of them is trying to cry out to you so that you can comprehend and understand the treasure that you are. As I've said, there's no such thing as a worthless human being. Because we're all created in the image of God. Christ died for us all. And God loves us all. Learn to treat yourself and others as the treasures they are. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, love yourself, but also love your neighbor. Honor yourself, but honor your neighbor as well. I appreciate your kind attention. There may be somebody here this evening who has not obeyed the gospel. As we've told you in the sermon this evening, God loved you so much He gave His Son to die for you personally. Christ loved you so much He died for you personally. Because they understand the value of your soul. Do you understand the value of your soul? You can take advantage of Christ crucified right now. You can be reconciled to God and have your sins forgiven. You can come to God by obeying the gospel. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, be willing to openly confess your faith. And motivated by your faith, repent of your sins and follow after the teachings of Jesus Christ. We'll be glad to assist you and baptize you for the remission of your sins into the one body. If you're a child of God and you know that there is sin between you and your God, as I've already told you earlier, you know this to be the truth. You cannot be at peace separated from God. Satan is going to try to convince you to let go, to just quit. Come home. Don't listen to Satan. Remember the treasure that you actually still are and that God still wants you. Come back to the Father. That which was dead can be alive. That which was lost can be found. And you can be right with God again and have the joy of your salvation restored to you. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the very best we can to try to encourage you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song.